are listening to Dateline Washington on the Radio America Network. I'm Greg Corumbus. Thanks for being with us. My next guest in this edition is Dan Kish. He's the Vice President for Policy at the Institute for Energy Research. We wanted to get his thoughts as the Environmental Protection Agency on Friday says it planned to regulate greenhouse gases, particularly carbon, because it says it's a danger to the health of Americans. And Dan, thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Well, we expected a huge legislative fight in the coming weeks and months here over cap and trade, which you've been on the program explaining you believe is a major energy tax on the American consumers. Is this basically suggesting that even if Congress doesn't pass what the president wants, they're going to do it anyway?
Yes, exactly. That what this is a pincher movement, Greg. In essence, it's a pick your poison. We're going to impose this either through legislation or through regulation. And there's no surprise here because the administration actually talked about this during the campaign. They said that in order to get Congress to pass a bill that meant with their approval, that would, in the words of the president, skyrocket electricity rates so people would use less, they were anticipating the Environmental Protection Agency would take regulatory action that would scare Congress into doing this.
Dan, talk about this a little more, and I guess this is more of a constitutional question than an energy policy question, but just how much leeway does the administration have to do this?
They have quite a bit, actually. Under a law that Congress passed back in 1990, the Supreme Court decided that the administration had a lot of leeway to determine whether or not carbon dioxide was hazardous to people's health. Kind of a shocking thing, since we all exhale carbon dioxide, and it's a byproduct of both nature and man-made additions. But it's pretty clear that they have the right to do so. The question is, would they do that knowing that it would increase the price of everything and export jobs to foreign countries? And by their actions Friday, they've said that those considerations aren't enough to make them want to do this.
Dan, the EPA said on Friday that they were planning to have, a month or two for review on this particular decision before it's actually enforced, and then the deliberations begin over these regulations. So assuming Congress doesn't do what the president wants, and that's a pretty big assumption given the Democratic majorities, what sort of timetable are we looking at for the administration to just impose these new regulations?
Well, it'll take some time, Greg, and they're planning on that. The regulatory process is slow, especially for something this big and this comprehensive. It's the largest attempt to extend government control of anything that I can think of in history. So it will take months, if not into next year, for them to ultimately get down to doing it. And there's still a question whether they want to do that. They're basically saying Congress must do something or will do it. And the question is whether they really ultimately want to do that, because voters, when they start seeing their bills, will not be pleased by their actions and the other ways this will affect them in terms of exporting jobs and that sort of thing.
Dan, how do you think this will affect the congressional debate, knowing that this backup plan is already in place?
Well, it's being used, Greg, as a means by some to argue for the need for a bill to pass, which is, as I said, was laid out in their comments last year. They pretty much telegraphed this was what they were going to do. They were going to squeeze on the legislative side and then try to make it look that if we don't pass a bill, then it's going to be worse coming from regulation. It doesn't really matter, because at the end of the day, either way we get a massive new energy tax imposed upon our economy and the rest of the world doesn't, simply means two different routes to a disastrous end. So pick your poison.
And Dan, we just had these tea parties across the country protesting government spending and, to some extent, taxation, although this would be the biggest tax plan coming down the pike, hasn't been implemented yet. What do you sense is the likely response to this? Will we see a significant divergence of opinion on the president as a result of this, or will most people just kind of line up behind it?
Well, most people have liked the concept that we're doing something, that the argument that, gee, we need to do something to have a cleaner earth and all those things. Remarkably, the United States is one of the few places that has been reducing its carbon dioxide output. We've been doing better than Europe, and we've been doing so without a plan, simply because of efficiency and economics and market-driven forces. At the end of the day, when the public begins to understand how much this is ultimately going to cost, it's quite possible that they run the risk of really stepping into a confrontation with a lot of people over just the size and scope of government. The Tea Parties represent we've just about had enough. This may be the load rather than the straw that breaks the camel's back in terms of this, because nothing is as far-reaching as this. Nothing proposed or done by the administration to date comes anywhere near the breadth and extent of what this will mean for our everyday lives decades to come.
We're talking with Dan Kish of the Institute for Energy Research. And Dan, we also reported on Friday that Henry Waxman, the new chairman of the House Energy and Commerce Committee, says he's holding firm on legislation that would require a 20% reduction in carbon emissions. What's the impact of that?
Well, that's the legislation on the that's the legislation. It's 20% initially. It's 80% by the year 2050 below a target that they pick. To put this in perspective, we would be able to, the average American based on population numbers would be using the amount of energy that the average American did in the 1850s in the United States. So think back. That's before the Transcontinental Railroad, before any of the modern conveniences of today. That is the amount of carbon dioxide they're shooting for us to emit and the amount of energy use that they're shooting for us to consume by that period of time. I don't think most people are going to find that attractive.
Dan, certainly a new wrinkle to the debate that makes it even more troublesome. Thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you, Greg.
Dan Kish, Vice President for Policy at the Institute for Energy Research. This is Dateline Washington.